You're listening to Fred and Xander. This is Chicago's home for sports.
Live stream ESPN 1000 or take a listen to our other shows on demand. It's the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Welcome on in. White Sox, Yankees wrap up their three-game series today. Sox took the opener at the Field of Dreams in Iowa with Tim Anderson's walk-off. And yesterday, it was Joey Gallo going deep off Liam Hendricks in the 10th, a 7-5 victory for the Yankees. Today, it'll be Lucas Giolito against Nestor Cortez. Fred and Xander here on ESPN 1000. Get back to the calls in a second.
Yeah, we need Lucas to go deep.
Yeah, that would be nice. We don't need the Yankees going deep. They've gone deep enough.
No.
On the last two games against the White Sox. Abreu, an 11-game hit streak. He's 17 for 46 during the streak, hitting .370, on base at .396, and a slug of .826. He's got 6 homers, 8 RBIs, and 11 runs scored during the 11-game streak.
He's the RBI guy.
He is. He certainly is the RBI guy for the White Sox. 312-332-3776. Let's get back to the phones. We go to Deerfield and Rich. You're on with Fred and Xander. What's up?
Hey, Rich.
Good morning, guys. So I'm curious where Kopech was last night when he had his meltdown Thursday night. Did that play into the fact that he wasn't called on yesterday? Is he hurt? Or
no, I think that they're just being very careful with him.
Yeah, Rich, I think they are. I think they're being careful with him. They did throw him in the second inning the other day, and he pitched really well. And I think they're just being very cautious with him and careful with him. They've been doing that all year. That's why I was surprised they let Crochet go an extra inning. And I like these. I like seeing that. I think slowly but surely they're letting these guys stay out for a second inning.
A little more. Yeah.
But then when they do, I think they give them the next day off.
Okay.
So yeah, that's our answer. I'm not 100% sure of right. Tony's answer, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Because I love seeing Kopech out there, too. I agree with you.
He was fired up that night.
He sure was, Rich.
Really fired. And he had
appreciate the call.
To.
Yeah. I mean, because
that was really bad.
Yeah, there were a couple of bad pitches. He got worked up in it. Brian Hanley was here yesterday with me. And like he said, if that was a regular season game and not the Field of Dreams game, he probably would have got tossed. But probably the umpire probably didn't want to say, listen, it's a special game. Let's just let it go. So Laz Diaz took one in a bad spot for most guys last night, too, late in the game. A ball that bounced off and hit him right where it's not supposed to hit you. Do umpires wear cups? I don't know. But the umpire on the plate should.
They do. That would be a tremendous mistake if they didn't.
A lot of players don't.
Better safe than sorry.
I know a lot of players don't. Catchers
that's
should.
And look, they're not comfortable. It's not really convenient.
No.
But it's for safety's sake.
Yeah, there's no doubt. We go on to Ohio, and Matt, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Matt.
Hello, yeah, Matt. Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're doing well.
Good. Hey, I think it's important to note that, you know, both guys, Craig and Hendricks, are for the first time not knowing if they're the guy, you know, for the ninth inning. And I think that might play into it a little bit. You know, they might grip that ball a little harder. They might want to get that out a little bit more just because they know if they make a mistake or two, they might not be the guy in the ninth. And I think that's just going to take time for them both to realize that, you know, whether it's them or the other guy going in the ninth, that if they just go out there and throw their pitches and don't worry about all the other stuff, you know, I think that's going to help the bullpen. I think Tony's going to figure that out.
You know, they both have said the right things, Matt. We appreciate the call. They both said the right things.
Well, yeah, Kyle Hendricks has said, give it to me in the first, give it to me
Liam
in the
Hendricks.
Ninth. Or I said Kyle.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, why do we have two Hendricks in town? Yeah, Liam, obviously. Give it to me in the first, give it to me in the ninth, whatever.
Yeah.
Just tell me when to go.
Right.
And I'm ready.
And he likes pitching all the time. There is a stat, though, and I saw this. I think Chris Kamka from NBC Sports Chicago posted this. Liam Hendricks has an 11.57 ERA since the Sox acquired Craig Kimbrell. So 11.57 since Kimbrell's come over. Kimbrell went.
Is that getting in his head?
Yeah, maybe. He allowed a run on 2 hits in 1 inning yesterday with the Judge homer. Hendricks, 3 runs, 2 hits in a third of an inning. The Joey Gallo bomb, which he gave up yesterday. We go to Romeoville, and Leo, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Leo?
Hey there. Hey, guys. Good morning. First time callers. Just about the game last night. Cool. Irritated with the bullpen, but, you know, let's cut over that. We're first place, 11 games up. What I'm calling about mostly is about Yoan Moncada. I've been on this guy all year, and it seems like he never shows up. He'll go 0 for 20, 0 for 25. But, my God, he's one home run or a double. These Moncada truthers are something else. They will defend this guy to the death. My point is this. Next year, not many people know who makes more. Next year, Yoan Moncada will make more than Tim Anderson. There is no way in hell that should happen. TA should not make less than Yoan Moncada. Good thoughts on that guy.
Well, I definitely agree. If Moncada doesn't straighten it out, don't think for a minute that Han isn't, you know, thinking creatively.
Well, I mean, the thing is,
I mean, he should
Anderson, Tim Anderson signed a long deal. He signed a five or six year deal for $25 million,
right,
I think it was.
Right.
So he's making a little over $4 million. But the last two afterward, the team has two option years. Anderson's going to make 12.5 in 2023, and in 2024 he's making $14 million. Okay.
Right.
I was trying to bring up Yoan Moncada's contract and what he's bringing up. But you know what? You can't base it all on that because they sign contracts from further down. That's why I hate that everybody knows what everybody makes.
I get what he's saying, Fred. What he's basically saying is Tim's the leader of the team. Yoan's not showing up. So, you know, the optics of it doesn't make much sense. But sure, there's a lot more behind.
Yeah, can't. The leader on the team doesn't always make the most money.
No.
No. And Yoan Moncada this year is making $6.8 million. Next year, he's making $13.8, then $17.8, $24.8, and $25 million in 2025. So he's not a free agent until 2025 because he was able to sign a deal and a longer contract, okay? So he's going to be here for a while. And he's just got to get better. We don't know why he's struggling. We don't know if it's COVID. He's hitting 250. He's not a 250 hitter. He's a 290 or a 300 hitter.
Right.
He should be hitting more home runs. He's not hitting more home runs. And he's not a threat at the plate right now.
No.
And
no.
When he's at the plate, I usually, if he hits the ball, I'm surprised. I really am. And so, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Okay. So if this year plays out, no matter how it plays out, as far as the Sox getting, you know, to the World Series or whatever. If he's not playing up to potential this year, and then he's the same next year, you know, what happens then? Are we looking at a different solution? We've seen players that have played well, and then they've just hit some kind of point in their career where things are not getting better. They're getting worse.
Yeah. He had a bad year last year, hitting 225, hitting 250 right now, and on base a 365, 388 slugging percentage. That's...
It just seems like there's something wrong that's not
low.
Being talked about.
He's not hustling either. He's made some bad plays at third base. He makes all the hard plays at third base, but he doesn't make the simple plays. I'm not sure what it is. It's very frustrating for a lot of White Sox fans. You can't stop bringing money into it. Tim Anderson signed a long-term deal to stay here.
Right.
6 years, $25 million. I'm sure Tim Anderson was happy as hell. Okay? I heard a great thing on MLB Network the other day, and they were talking about Tim Anderson. It was Friday morning, and Mark DeRosa on MLB Central, they had the show from 9 to noon every day, Monday through Friday. And he was talking about how they had Tim Anderson in studio a couple years ago. And they wanted to ask him about his stance and his approach at the plate. He said, no, I'm not ready. I'm still working on my approach at the plate. He goes, let's talk about base stealing or something. And they did. And now he's gotten to the point where he'll be more than happy to talk about it. Okay? He's the kind of guy that has worked on his game and improved his game. Anybody that's listened to me over the years knows that I was as critical of Tim Anderson as anybody because when he led the team, the league in hitting in the American League 2 years ago, he also led them in errors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he has 6 errors right now. He's improved his defensive play. Yep. He's gotten...
He's a different player than when he first came up. He had all kinds of upside, but it just wasn't consistent.
Yeah, and I actually thought he was going to do something yesterday, and he ran the count deep before he hit that fielder's choice to end the game yesterday, because there was a chance still for the White Sox. Right. And, you know, he had the opportunity. And it was a pressure situation, but he hit the ball. It just didn't get past the third baseman. They flipped to second base, ends the game. But, you know, you can't start looking at it money-wise, okay? I'm sure that Eloy and Robert are making more money than Tim Anderson. I'm almost guarantee it that they're making more money than him over the next couple of years. Right. When you sign your deals, you can't look at it. Right. Now, Anderson would love to sign a deal and an extension and make more money than
he's making. And he may. Chances are that that's going to happen. I just get what the caller was saying. It's just optically like Yoan's not carrying the weight.
Definitely not.
Instead of comparing him to Tim Anderson, we could just say right now he's not making that salary.
Yeah. Oh, well, no, he's not. And there's a lot of guys in baseball that aren't. And
yes, you know, too many.
312-332-3776. Callers, hang in there. We'll get right back to you. Talking to some White Sox as they wrap up their series with the Yankees today. I see a couple of callers want to talk about the Field of Dreams. We're also going to talk about the topic I brought up, because I got a couple of things I've been able to talk, first my wife, now my girlfriend, into going to sporting events. So Carmen brought this up the other day on Friday. Because people were talking about, you know, going to the Field of Dreams and stuff like that. So we'll get to that in a little bit, too. 312-332-3776. Don't forget, 1230 pregame, 110 first pitch, White Sox baseball. Lucas Giolito against the Yankees here on ESPN 1000.
This is Fred and Xander.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. You're listening to Fred and Xander.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
More cowbell. Good news from Guaranteed Rate Field. Tony La Russa talking about Carlos Rodon. Says the exam was encouraging of Carlos Rodon. No damage, just tired. The soreness was there, but it wasn't anything that doesn't make us optimistic that at the end of the 10 days, he'll be able to pitch back in the rotation.
Just needs some rest.
That's good news.
Hey, it's been a while since he's been able to pitch for any extended amount of time without a serious injury.
Yeah, well, it's forever. That's why this year has been so amazing. I'm glad he's coming back. I've got him at, what do I have him at? 60-1? No, not 60-1.
For the Cy Young?
Yeah, for the Cy Young. Mm-hmm. And so he's got to have a couple more good outings. Lance Lynn is just a fun pitcher to watch. I love watching him pitch in the Field of Dreams game the other day. And speaking of that, let's go on out to Norridge and Frank. Frank, what's happening today?
Hey, there. That Field of Dreams thing was great. That was, I've been a White Sox fan since the 40s, and I enjoyed it. It was just, it kind of held you in your seat.
Didn't it? The whole time, from the opening introductions all the way through.
They did a great job. Just the whole pomp and circumstance surrounding everything, the lead up to it. It was a very good job.
Yeah.
Right. And it was good not to see that thing around the batter's box. So my God, I can't stand it.
Well, see, but you better get used to it, because they're eventually going to get rid of the umps calling balls and strikes, because they're every game they make mistakes that can cost a team games and a player his career. I mean, guys get worked up when a call goes against them. All of a sudden, next thing you know, they're in the minors. Next thing you know, they're out of baseball. I just think the automated strike zone is necessary. I missed it when late in the game, though, when Kopech and Kimbrel got squeezed. Didn't you?
No, I made it interesting. You know what I mean? The umpire had his view, and they had their view, and they went at it.
Yeah. Frank, appreciate the call.
Frank's
thanks for hanging in there.
Baseball guy. Yeah. Don't give me any of that stuff.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not.
You're old school about everything else.
I like it called correctly. If you're going to have instant replay, you're going to use this kind of stuff, get the damn play called correctly. I've been this way for like the last 10 years.
Oh, but what about a human error?
There's no such thing as human error. Human error for the players, not the officials.
Sean, I know all the hot buttons. I know where all the buttons are with this guy, Fred.
That's brutal. Absolutely brutal. I've sat here for years, ever since Cap came to ESPN, he's been talking about human error. It's like, come on. Human error for the players, not the officials. The players are playing the game. The officials are supposed to make the calls. And you should never win or lose a game based on a mistake by
those
an umpire.
Umps should be superhuman.
They should be.
That's hire only superhumans.
Or take it out of their hands and put it on the computer. Now, everybody keeps bringing up the one example that was shown of a minor league game
that
where the ball
funny.
Was called outside and it was called by the computer. But every single night, you can watch a baseball game, and the umpires are blowing calls every night.
Now, can we, when this technology is brought in, like something like that, okay? Worst case scenario, you get some way outside, and the computer's telling you that's a strike. If you give the umps on the field to overrule the computer in extreme cases only, that seems like an acceptable.
I think they'll have that possibility or that capability, right. But you know, baseball's waited so long that when this thing comes through, it should never make a mistake. Unless there's a large bee flying through, or a bird hits the strike zone, And maybe that way they'll call it. But otherwise, they just got to get to it because it's been terrible. I mean, every single game. There are calls where you just look at it, you just shake your head.
I've said this before. It's been getting worse.
Yeah.
I don't understand how it's getting worse, but it seems to be getting worse.
Brian Hanley was with me yesterday, brought up some interesting points. Pitchers are making the ball do so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And the call that Kopech was upset about was a pitch that he's a right-handed pitcher. It was on the outside of the plate and actually came back. Now, if you're the umpire, you see it on the outside and you go, I'm going to call it a ball. He didn't see it come back. Now the question is, would the automated strike zone call, would it come back before that?
Well, the automated strike zone has to be tweaked so it sees the ball where it is across the plate.
I know.
That's front to back of the plate.
Right.
In the strike zone as far as it is wide.
Yeah.
And that'll be interesting, but that's the calibration it's going to need.
Yeah. He is going to need it. White Sox, Tony La Russa is still talking. Apparently, he said of Liam Hendricks, he's fine. I hope he gets a chance to save today. I don't know if I'm going to go that far. Not after his last two outings. But I know that he'll want to go out there against the Yankees. And that's why Steve Stone and Mike Monaco, who's doing a great job filling in
for
Jason Benetti as Jason. And I said this yesterday. Hopefully he gets better soon. I may not like him.
He is getting better,
yeah.
as I understand. He had it pretty bad to where the taste went and everything.
And he was vaccinated.
Yep.
He had been vaccinated. Yep. So, yep. You know, and it's because of that, I don't think they're ever going to go on the road. Not this year. Not at this point.
Not this year.
Not at this point, which is a shame because I understand. And, you know, I was talking to my brother yesterday. He said it's amazing that all these announcers have to do the games, you know, from like Cubs games. They do them from Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. Sox games when they're a row.
Hey, they're all getting better at it.
Yeah, they are. And
as long as they have the camera angles they need, they're getting better at it.
Listen, when I did the fire games, the home games where I did play-by-play in 2008, 2009, fire home games were fun. Fire road games were a blast because you got to go on the road. You got to stay at a hotel. You got to see different stadiums.
You got your stipend for the day,
awesome.
So you got to eat.
You got no stipend.
No,
this was Major League Soccer. There was no stipend.
Okay.
Yeah, you got nothing. I spent my own money to eat.
Oh, lie to us. Tell us you got these big posh meals.
They paid for my airfare, but I got no stipend. They paid for my hotel and my airfare, but yeah, if I wanted to eat, I'm shelling the money out myself. There was no stipend. But, yeah, that was part of the thing. And if you're a broadcaster, I've said forever, the best job anywhere, if you're in sports, would be a baseball play-by-play announcer. You get to go to Florida or Arizona in February for spring training. Then you get to follow your team, all the road games, stay in the nicest hotels, transportation to and from the ballparks. You sit upstairs, you eat at the clubhouse, whatever you need to do.
Play golf during the day if it's a night game.
If you have to. And you do this from February through October. And then
you get a nice big vacation.
You get November, December, and January off.
And you can go to the islands.
Blue and stony, right?
No. I aspire to greater things.
Okay. So, but the greatest job you could possibly get. I got close. Soccer. they play in the summer.
I'm going to apply today. MLB.com? Yeah. Do they have the openings posted there?
I don't know. Let's go to Broadview. And, Brandon, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Fred. Man, you are so right. I'm so sick of these umpires. No one pays to come and see them. I don't turn on my TV to see them. And it was so funny. I've never seen a situation with Kopech where he didn't get threw out. The reason he didn't get threw out was showing up because the ump knew he was wrong. The ump knew he blew it. And it was amazing because when Kopech got took out of the game, they showed the shot. And the umpire started looking at his scorecard. He didn't look at Kopech.
He wasn't.
On purpose. And it was so brutal. It was so brutal that Savali and Moncada, normally when an umpire makes a bad call on a strike, they walk out of the batter box and take like 2 or 3 feet. They walked halfway to the dugout, both of them, and turned back around and then came back to the at-bat. And he said nothing because he knew he blew it. And I love Steve Stone, but Stoney did it last week. Stoney made the excuse of both teams need to start swinging at the outside pitch because that's what the ump is doing.
I heard him say it.
Ump needs to call a strike.
Yeah.
Call a strike, a strike. Stop making up something that's not a strike. And MLB needs to bring these certain umpires in who gives up a corner that's not a strike and sit them down and tell them, stop calling that call and changing the game and changing people at bat. Because it's a difference between strike one and strike two. And when they give up that strike two, 9 times out of 10, that White Sox hit a strike out on that next pitch. And it's just ridiculous. And I hate animated refs, the ones who are all loud. And
yeah.
That means you're showing up the player. You don't want to be show up, but you showed me up on strike three because you want to go, hey, strike. Thanks, guys. I love you.
Thanks. Appreciate the call, Brandon.
Right. Yeah, hey, he had all his thoughts put together nicely.
You know what's worse? What's worse than a ball outside that is called a ball? You know, like the one for Kopech.
Mm-hmm.
There's been times for Lance Lynn. Well, he'll throw a pitch that'll be 3 inches inside the strike zone and like over the middle of the plate.
Right.
Call the ball. And it's happened to him a couple times this year. And it's like, those are the frustrating ones where it's right there. It's down the middle of the plate. I heard what the caller was mentioning too. Stone said the hitters are going to have to start swinging at the outside.
I heard it too.
No, it's a ball. I'm not swinging at a ball.
Here's the thing though. This is where I'll disagree. If an ump is consistently calling something right or wrong, if they're consistently calling something, well, it would be wrong. Something that you do have to adjust if they're consistently not doing it. Yes, the umps have to be better.
Yeah.
But in absence of that, for your team to win, you've got to make the adjustment. You know what drives me nuts is, you know, we've talked about this. Jesse sat in with me one time and we talked about the umps getting graded. This year has been so bad. You've got players that are throwing different types of pitches. Do they have these things to where they grade them on a daily basis?
Yeah.
And are these umps suffering for bad grades? Are they getting some kind of, not a demotion, but there's, you know, Jesse and I talked about how about the best umps are only the home plate umps and they get paid a little more and the field umps get paid another level.
Yeah.
Why not? Well, you don't want to treat them different. Players are treated different. You know
sure
who's making more money on the team you're playing on.
Yeah.
If you're Jake Lamb, you know you're not making Tim Anderson money. You're just happy to be there.
Right. Yeah.
So
I don't know if they can do that.
The best umps being behind the plate. They should do something.
Yeah.
It seems to me that's an
automated strike zone is the easiest way. 312-332-3776. Let's grab one more call before we take a break. Let's go to Naperville. Rufus, what's happening today?
Hey, Rufus.
Not much. Hey, Fred, Xander. Hey, Xander, I looked at that contraption called the computer and found out you went to Richards.
I did. Richards High School, class 84.
No, I was class 84, too, out in Naperville. But sorry about that. But I just wanted to say, too, about Moncada. Even I look at this guy, I was so upset when they traded Madrigal. I would have rather put Berger at third, get rid of Moncada. And I think part of it, he got married in the offseason, and that always causes some problems.
Well,
it's like a Yoko Ono.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it causes problems. I do know that, you know, sometimes it calms guys down. because now they have something instead of they're always out looking.
They're always working. Yeah.
I think Madrigal's going to be a good player for him. I really do.
He's going to be great for the Cubs, Rufus. Appreciate the call. I can't wait. My brother said he hated it because my brother is a Sox fan, hates the Cubs, and he loves Madrigal. And he said, I can't believe I gotta watch Madrigal play for the Cubs.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, he's going to have to do that.
Uh-huh.
Hey, there. Look, Madrigal, it's early in his career. He's a great hitter. Nicky Two Strikes. He'll be known as that on the north side. But there are some things about his game, and I look forward to seeing if he can grow into them and, be even better than he was for the Sox.
I'm sure he will. We're here until 12:30. Jump in. 312-332-3776. A couple of callers. When we come back, I'll tell you how I was able to convince a couple of ladies to go to sporting events that I wanted to go to.
I didn't know you were a salesman.
Yes. Well, I was, actually, for a little while, too, which was another story. I got out of there when I could. 312-332-3776 on ESPN 1000.
Fred and Xander.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. This is Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000. Also available on demand. On the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, so Fred, you have convinced a couple people in your lifetime to go to a sporting event that they would not have been okay with going to on their own?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yep.
Tell me how that went.
Callers, Xander, we'll get right to you. Back in the day, this has to be like 20 years ago.
Okay.
My wife and I went for a nice couple days to Galena.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in Galena, beautiful downtown Galena. And we stayed at a place called the Irish something. I can't remember what it's called. But they had a Irish breakfast and had a few Guinness and stuff like that. And then there's a boat in Dubuque. We went there for a casino and
stuff
like that.
Yeah, sure. I've been to that.
Yeah, yep. Diamond Joe, I think it was called the Diamond Joe Casino. Mm-hmm. And then I said, you know what?
Those were back when they were brand new. It was before the boats were in Joliet.
Yeah.
We had to go all the way down to the Quad Cities if we wanted to do that.
Yeah. I said, you know what? I said, we should take a ride. She goes, where? I go, just come with me. And I convinced her to come with me, and we went to the Field of Dreams in Dyersville.
But you never told her. You just said, come with me.
Yeah. Well, I convinced her to come.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, so we went to the Field of Dreams. And I told this story, I think, last week.
Did you have a catch?
Well, I flipped the ball underhand to her, and she caught it. She threw the ball to me, and I chased it because she could never throw the ball to me directly once. I said, can you just throw it to me once?
Because we're standing by third base. That's having a catch.
Yeah.
If it's not an easy exchange, then it never happened.
Yeah. It was. So I never had a catch. I was just – and I couldn't find my picture. I have a picture of me walking into the cornstalks in left field there. But I'm walking in, and I turn around, and it looks like I'm peeing on the corn because you can't see my hands. All you can see is me turn
hands
around.
Up, yeah.
So it looks like I'm. So that was one. And the other one
That's a perfect shot for that album cover.
I know.
You put out your
tremendous.
First record.
Yes. Yeah. The other one is, and I'm doing it again tonight. I have a girlfriend now. People know my wife passed away a couple years ago. And I have a girlfriend now, Linda. And I've convinced her several times this year to go to Chicago Fire soccer games.
And it's happening again tonight?
Tonight, yeah. They play at 5 o'clock against Columbus. At Soldier Field. And I'm convincing her again to come to the game with me.
Maybe she's just tremendously bored.
She asked me, she said, don't you have a friend that likes soccer? And I said, no. I told my brother I was going, and he said, what happens after the first 3 minutes when she falls asleep? I said, she won't fall asleep. I said, I'll get her something to drink and a pretzel.
All you do is just keep nudging her every minute.
And so I've convinced a couple times. Because this came up, I was wondering about it. So if you've been able to convince your spouse, significant other, to go to a sporting event. Carmen was talking the other day. He's on vacation in New York, and he convinces his wife to go to a hockey game where the Hawks were not playing.
No, he just wanted to see the Rangers play. Yeah, he wanted to go to MSG.
And he says he's done that a couple times. And I was just wondering if anybody else has had the opportunity to do that. We'll take your calls. 312-332-3776. My wife was not a big base sports fan. Linda likes football, but soccer, she's, putting up with it.
My wife is a sports fan, so I cannot say that I've had to coerce her.
Yeah, or convince her.
No, not – I can't think of one. I got to keep thinking.
Yeah. I've asked
even her, concerts, like yeah. something a little different.
Yeah.
Maybe I had to talk her into going to see Tower of Power with me.
Okay.
But she loved it.
I love the horns.
Yeah.
Tower of Power.
I love that band.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. We go to Mundelein and David. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, David.
Hey.
Hello. How you guys doing?
Good. Doing well. What's up?
So I'm on the way to the Sox game, and I've watched the last two games, and Hendricks has blown the last two games. And we do have Kimbrel, who's kind of our setup man, but he was the Cubs closer. I was wondering, do you guys think that Kimbrel should, you know, play closer for a few games, and then Liam is the setup man?
Well, Jeff Passan actually talked about how it should be a situational thing.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. You know, based on, you know, who's up, whose set of pitches are going to work well with the matchup instead of a hard closer and a hard setup person.
Yeah.
They should be interchangeable.
Yeah, they should be. David, thanks for the call. I don't think so. I think it should be game. I mean, I don't think that they should make Kimbrel the closer right now.
Because you're just forcing the issue.
Yeah.
The benefit of a situation that not many, if any, other teams really have are two really strong closers.
Right. I mean, Kimbrel is a Hall of Fame closer with some of his numbers and things like that.
Yep.
Not so much for Hendricks. Okay. Hendricks is a guy that was waived. What was it, Sean? Six times?
Yeah.
He's been around the league, okay?
He found his way with the A's as a closer.
Yep, there's no doubt.
That's why they picked him up.
There's no doubt. They picked him up, signed him to a four-year deal. And I like everything he's done except the last two nights. But he's given up seven home runs. That's more than he's ever given up. He's also got seven wins. People don't realize. They probably don't realize it. But he got the win for the game the other day at the Field of Dreams game.
He did.
He gave up two two-run homers.
And he still got the
win. And he got the victory.
Thank you, T.A.
His seventh win of the season. He's never had seven wins in a year.
Right.
That's you don't want to have seven victories if you're a closer.
No, that's weird.
Yeah, because that means you blew a save, and then your team came back and got you a win.
And, a win is a win is a win, but it's still weird.
Right, and it's very weird. So I know that there's been numerous people on Twitter throughout the course of the show today, and they're talking about how they should definitely go to Kimbrel, and Kimbrel's more of a closer, and that Hendricks has pitched in other situations and things like that. I understand where they're all coming from, but I still think that it makes a little more sense for them to go based on who they're refacing.
Yeah.
Based on
the
matchups.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here, Eric. Eric Gust is a big Twitter guy. He said, this is 2021. Kimbrel has been the better closer this season. It's crazy to me that he instantly wasn't given the ninth inning by his manager. Hendricks has pitched in other roles before closing. That's true. And the answer that Tony La Russa gave, it's a thing that a lot of people say, that if a guy's a closer and you bring him in a non-closing situation, he doesn't pitch well. I mean, here's what La Russa said earlier today. It's the same thing a lot of people have said in years past.
But it doesn't make sense.
You know what I saw with Kimbrel and with Liam? Those are not safe situations, right? And not that they can't get the outs. You got to give credit to the guys that got the hits. That's not their classic. You know, whether it's the eighth inning with a lead or the ninth inning with a lead, I'm not making excuses for it. It's the truth. And they both could have gotten the outs, and the guys put swings on them, but those are not safe situations, and I hope the next time that you see him take the mound and we have a lead.
It's weird to hear a manager say that, because I would expect fans to say that.
Right.
I wouldn't expect necessarily the manager to say that. Because
it's almost like opening, you know, breaking down that fourth wall.
Yeah.
I don't want that wall to be broken down. I don't want to hear that.
Uh-huh.
For me to tell Liam or Kimbrel is like, get the out.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the save or the win or the anything. Mow them down.
I was one of the only guys on this radio station, right or wrong, I was one of the only guys in the station last year that when it got to the playoff, it got to the Cleveland game, and then it got to putting Rodon in against Oakland, everyone said, well, he's not a reliever. It was tough putting him in a situation. No, he's a pitcher. And a pitcher is supposed to be able to throw the ball.
And we talked about that then. And I get that he's a pitcher. I was more concerned that he didn't have a lot of innings behind him. He was just coming off of an injury.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have been pitched that day no matter what. However, if he was healthy, but he wasn't a closer, that's when I agree with you.
They brought in
Mark
Burley came into relief in the World Series.
Right.
Okay.
And
John Lester.
And he had a couple beers in his system.
Yeah, exactly.
We know now.
John Lester came out of the bullpen.
Sure.
You're a pitcher. You come in, you throw the ball, you get a guy's out. That's what you're supposed to do. I mean, how pampered and specific do you have to be with this? And I understand that these aren't closing situations, but they've got to go on out there and do their job. And the last couple of times out, Kimbrel and Hendricks, if not, 312-332-3776 here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Fred and Xander
on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Now back to more Fred and Xander on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
We're here till 12:30. Then it's White Sox pregame as they wrap up the three-game set with the Yankees. Again, I don't know that I want to face the Yankees, so maybe they don't make the playoffs. Because if they get these guys back healthy,
we're talking the Yankees now make the playoffs.
Yeah, the Yankees. Right. Sox are making the playoffs. They got a huge lead still, but the Yankees, they're battling.
Let's root for Boston here. I always root for Boston over New York.
I usually do if I root for either one. I'm not a big Chris Sale fan after he cut the uniforms up.
Right.
So, yeah. He pitched yesterday and they beat the heck out of the Orioles.
Low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, again. But you look at it, and when they get Gleyber Torres and Urshela and Sanchez and Rizzo, all these guys back.
That Torres kid.
Yeah, they're doing all this stuff without these guys. They've had 59 guys in uniform this year for the Yankees. 59. Right. They showed all the guys that were on the injured list.
I saw that.
And for injured COVID, I counted them up. There were 24. Let's see. 60.
Now, I thought we had it bad on the South Side.
Yeah.
We did have it bad because we had key players that were laid up.
Well, they
but
do,
But as
too.
Far as numbers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they do.
They got
but they've,
too,
they've
yeah.
got crazy numbers.
Oh, and I forgot Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
And I forgot Aroldis Chapman. So
and Kluber.
Yeah, they got all these guys. They're all done. And or down, I should say. So I would prefer that they don't make the
They're
playoffs.
All done.
Yeah. Let's go to Antioch and Ted. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Ted.
Hey, guys. I wanted to talk about the automated strike zone.
Yeah.
So I've been an advocate for automated strike zone for a long time, and to the point where people say, oh, no, here we go again. But it shouldn't depend on whether or not the umpire stands in a different position or if your catcher cheats better than the other catcher. A strike is a strike, and it should be a static position. And they have the technology. The Astros had the technology to tell players when pitches were coming. Why don't they use technology to tell the umpire whether it's a ball or a strike? And they can still call it from behind the plate, but use the technology to do it.
Hey, Ted, I'm watching the Sox game yesterday, and on NBC Sports Chicago, Steve Stone is telling us the number of revolutions per second on Dylan Cease's slider.
3,500?
Yeah, well, 3,200 or something. Well, come on. If they can do that, you're going to tell me they can't call balls and strikes?
Well, not only that, look at the effect it had on the 2016 World Series. Struck the batter out. That pitch wasn't even close to being a ball, and it ends up being a ball, and they take him out of the game, and then the Indians end up scoring a couple of runs after that, which would have never even happened if there was an automated strike zone. The guy would have struck out.
See, and that's the biggest thing, Ted. I appreciate the call. That's the biggest thing
one
to me.
One bad call
is
could
one,
change
yes.
a career,
yes.
an out,
everything.
Outcome, everything.
Yeah, and see, I've always thought Ronaldo Lopez is coming. He's pitching actually pretty well for the White Sox out of the bullpen. He's been doing
surprised
it.
Surprised we didn't see him yesterday.
He's pitched. He pitched in the Field of Dreams game, didn't he?
Yeah, yes, he
yeah.
did. And we're being easy on him, too.
Yeah, but he's a guy that they brought here to be an innings guy, a guy that can give you a couple innings here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the kind of guy where if he doesn't get a call,
it affects
him. It really affects him.
Well, it has been up until this year. I'm not sure. You know, maybe he's moved past that. But, yes, that sometimes will kind of get in somebody's head.
Yeah.
And that's the mental toughness that you have to have for this game.
Yeah. There's no doubt. So it'll be Lucas Giolito today going against Nestor Cortez. White Sox lineup, Tim Anderson leading off with Cesar Hernandez. Abreu looking to extend his hitting streak. It's at 11 right now. Eloy hitting fourth.
Moncada's looking to do something.
Moncada's your DH. Then it's Luis Robert. Danny Mendick, who just got called up, is Lurie Garcia's on the 7-day concussion list. And Sebi Zavala is the catcher today for Lucas Giolito. And it would be great to have Giolito throw a good game today.
Yep.
I would love to see that.
8 innings.
Yeah. Go on out there, give him a nice 8 innings, and see what happens. I have not.
It's going to be a beautiful day.
Yeah, it should be an awesome day. And I am one of those guys that likes going to the ball game.
It's packed.
When it's not crowded.
Right.
And I was watching the game last night with my brother over at my sister's house. We were sitting around watching. And my brother goes, man, look at the crowd. I said, yep. I said, I don't want to be there. I know everybody likes being. I don't like being in full houses. Too many people. Too many. No. Really? I don't want someone telling me to stand up. I don't want someone telling me that I got to do something. I want to just enjoy, relax, kick back, enjoy the game. I kind of liked earlier this year when it was 25%.
Okay, I was trying to figure out why you said people telling me to stand up. You mean when they're walking by you in the aisle?
When they're, or they're, you know, something, there's a big play coming up and they go, come on, stand up. Shut up. I'll stand up if I want to. I paid for the seat. I'm going to sit down.
Just
stay
say no.
Out of my way. Oh, I do, but...
No!
Yeah, leave me alone.
Just by that, they'll be like, are you Fred Huebner?
No, they know right away, yeah. let's go to Chicago Heights, and Jim, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jim.
Good morning.
What's up?
Back in 72, I believe, Milt Pappas had a perfect game going until the umpire called it on a 3-2 count, called it a ball. Well, automatic strike zone, that'll end the argument.
Yep. Oh, you're right. There's no doubt. And it's amazing to me that it hasn't happened sooner. And it's funny because I think a lot of the umpires are actually for it. They're saying, okay.
What is the holdup then? What's the catch?
Major League Baseball, Jim, has actually said they don't really have the best technology to get it correct all the time. And I can't believe that. Like I said, that's why I use the example of spin rates.
Did we not land on the moon in 1969?
Yeah, but we can't call balls and strikes.
Okay.
Jim, appreciate the call. You're
Thanks,
right.
Jim.
It's hampered. That's why replay has come in. I mean, there's been other calls where the calls were made incorrectly and there was no replay. That's why instant replay came in all sports.
But you cannot dispute balls and strikes.
No, right now you can't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So eventually someone's going to have to come up with a definition of what's a swing and what's not a swing.
Great point.
Benetti talks about it all the time, and he's right. And he's exactly right because they've not done it. They've not done a good job. My thing always has been, if the bat crosses the plate, it's a strike.
The whole plate?
If the bat crosses the whole plate,
now,
it's a strike.
Okay, if you check up in the middle of the plate, it's not.
No. If your bat doesn't cross the plate all the way.
You see, I always thought it's something with your wrist.
Breaking the wrist.
Yeah, the breaking the wrist.
You can still hit the ball. You can break the wrist after. That's when you break your wrists. You know, so if the bat crosses the
plate,
you know
what amazes me when they appeal down the line and they're so quick on the call?
I know.
Because I try to watch it and I can't. It happens so quick, it's really hard to make that call. But if you're saying it is a factor of the plate.
Yeah. That's the rule, in my opinion, what the rule should be. Callers, hang in there. We'll get right back to you. We're here until 12:30 on ESPN 1000. Back in 2 minutes.
Fred and Xander.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000. Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. Now, back to more Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000.
We have not talked much about the Cubs today, and I think Cub fans are happy about that. So,
what positive?
Well, they have lost 10 in a row. The Marlins beat them 5-4 yesterday. Positive. The Cubs are 52-67. They are 10-33 since the combined no-hitter against the Dodgers, okay? Alcantara with three errors yesterday. Zach Davies give up three unearned runs over six innings. Cubs lose. Frank Schwindel, he's a 28, 29-year-old guy that he got in one of the trades. His slash line right now, 381, 422, 714. He's got three homers and 12 RBIs in 13 games since the Cubs have, you know, brought him up. So, I mean, that's interesting to watch, I guess. But, Chris,
like we talked about last week, there are a few things to be excited about and hopeful about.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They're rebuilding. I don't care what anybody wants to call it or not call it.
Rebuilding is not pretty.
No, no. And it was not pretty the first time they did it. Yeah, I know Cub fans are upset because you're doing it second time in 10 years. But what happened is they didn't work deals. We talked a little bit about Tim Anderson's deal and Yoan Moncada's deal. And the Sox have Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert on long-term deals. Well, that's what general manager Rick Hahn did. And if he wants to move guys like that, he can do that because they are then, you know, he's got them to long-term deals. Yes. He could not get long-term deals with Baez, Rizzo, and Bryant. So they are all gone. They had to trade them away because their deals all expired this year. Now, Chris Bryant is doing a good job right now with San Francisco. The Giants are the top team in the National League right now. And KB was on KNBR out in San Francisco. They are the sports station in the San Francisco Bay Area. And the guys, Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks, they asked him why. Well, here, you'll hear the question here. Chris Bryant on KNBR in San Francisco just 2 days ago.
Why not re-up with the Cubs? Was it the manipulation of the service time deal with Jed Hoyer? Was it did you want to be traded from there?
No, I mean, I saw the writing on the wall the last couple of years, so that was always the story that was out there. But, it just goes back. You asked why there's no, I didn't re-up or anything. It was just, you know, we didn't really have those talks. I said in an interview, I think a couple of days ago, I mean, we talked after 2016, and that's about it. There was no serious conversations after that, so you can't really do much about that. So I was doing all I can to help the team win. And, you know, I was proud of that. And I was proud of, you know, my career there. And I had some really good memories there. But, you know, hopefully I can do a lot of the same things I did there here. And I'm really excited about that.
That was Chris Bryant and KNBR
That's a bad breakup, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of.
Because they're both saying different things.
Well, he says that they didn't come to him, you know, after 2016 they came to him, and they didn't come to him after that. It's 2021 last
time. Not what we're hearing from the other side.
Well, they said that they had talked. So here's what he's doing right now. With the Giants, he's played 13 games. He's 15 for 51, hitting .294. Which is good. That's like 30 points higher than he was hitting with the Cubs. His on base is about the same. .357. He was .358 with the Cubs. His slugging actually was better with the Cubs. He was hitting, his slug was .503. His slugging is .451 right now. Out of the 15 for 51, he has one homer and four RBIs. But he's playing different positions. He's doing a lot of good things for the Giants, and they're on top of the National League West.
That's exactly why they got him.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, you know, all the Cubs individually, Baez was okay until he got hurt. Rizzo was okay. He was doing very well. He had RBIs in his first six games with the Yankees. Now he's out with COVID, missed the Field of Dreams game and the weekend series here against the White Sox. Right.
And do we know how he's doing? Has there been any reports of the severity of what he's dealing with?
I've not heard anything from him. But individually, they all went to contending teams and left the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually a good thing for them. For the Cubs and for Cub fans, not so much. So they have to hope that some of these young players that they got back for these guys are going to be able to help this team.
But when they were here, not enough was happening.
No. Together, they weren't winning. They weren't going to win, and they weren't going to stay. And Jed Hoyer had no choice but to do what he did.
I think they all needed a new address.
Yeah, and they all got them. They moved all around. San Francisco for Bryant, New York for both Rizzo and Rizzo and Baez. And it's weird that two of the three are out, and Bryant's the only one still playing right now.
Yeah.
So, and I think he's played numerous positions for them, too. I think he's played left and third base. I want to double check.
Well,
that
Longoria's there, right?
I have
he's
no
a
idea.
Third baseman.
Let's see here.
Evan.
Yeah, he's played right field, left field, third base, and center field. He's played all three outfield positions so far for the Giants. So they're using him, and that's one of the keys. He can be used everywhere. He's gotten hits in all the seasons.
Well, that's why he was so attractive at the trade deadline.
He's gotten hits in 10 of his 13 games. So, not bad. So
that's the Chris Bryant
that
everybody expected to have on the Cubs.
Yeah. So, and unfortunately, he wasn't doing that. He did have his peaks earlier this year. And not so much of late. So 312-332-3776. White Sox fans, how's Lucas Giolito going to do today against the Yankees? They've got the crowd is expected. It's going to be a huge crowd. It's family day, I would think, on Sundays. And they're going to get a huge crowd, probably the biggest crowd, I would think, of the weekend. Last night was pretty darn big. It was 38,477. They called it a sellout. I guess a sellout here says 46,15, but I think they said it was the eighth sellout of the year. I'm not sure how exactly that works when it's not capacity.
Right.
But, yeah. I know earlier this year when they had less people that they were able to sell out, and for a certain number, they were able to do that. Yesterday in the Sox game, when they lose 7-5, I just saw this. They left 12 men on base. With runners in scoring position, the White Sox were 1-for-12 yesterday. Sean, that's not good, right? 1-for-12?
Not good at all.
No.
Jeez.
If just half of them would have come home, we would have won the game.
It would have been a rout if three of them came home. That's not good. With runners in scoring position. I didn't realize that Frank Menachino was so short.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. Really? I never looked into it. I saw his picture. But when he went out for the Field of Dreams game the other day, I go, my God, he's the hitting coach? He's got a small strike zone to talk about.
Yeah, but runners in scoring position has been an issue. You can go back to the first road trip to begin the season.
Yeah.
They did the same thing against the Angels and the Mariners.
Yeah. Man, they get guys on and they just can't get them around. So, yesterday, like I said, Robert and Jimenez both with two RBIs and Abreu the homer. Those were the five runs right there. No, Anderson was 1-for-6. Hernandez 1-for-4. But I like what he's been doing since he's gotten here. Moncada got a hit. He was 1-for-5. Goodwin 0-for-4. Lamb 0-for-2. Collins 1-for-4. Oh, I thought he got it, though.
Didn't they say the other night that since the return, I think since July 30th, 54% of the runs for the White Sox are via the home run.
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous trend because I believe it was at about 33% before that.
It was. Right? It jumped up really.
Yeah. It seems like the offense is becoming heavily dependent on the home run.
Which is funny because for the longest time, we were a little concerned.
The ground ball rate was number one in the league, highest in the league.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we got a little concerned about that. But right now, you know, they're 19 games over 500 and people are still saying, you know, what's wrong? You know, they can't. I've mentioned this a couple times. Even when you have a record like this and you expect that you're going to the playoffs, you got a huge lead in the division. Every game you lose is aggravating.
Well, it is because you expect so much more.
Yeah.
We can't ever be satisfied, Fred.
No. There's no reason to be. Right. There's really no reason to be satisfied. Your team is supposed to go on out there and win all the time.
Satisfaction is fleeting.
Yes, and you'd like to see the team excel. They haven't been doing that. And people say, "Well, what do you mean they haven't been doing that? What's the record?" Let's see. Were they 10-10 going into the Yankee series? I think I know they had lost 5 out of 7 to the Royals. So their record wasn't tremendous.
No.
So they've got the nice lead because their division's bad.
Right.
Okay. But they still have been winning games, but they haven't been able to.
Hey, from the very beginning, we've talked about the fact how crucial it is to beat the good teams, the Yankees, the Astros, the Blue Jays, These are the true tests.
Listen, the schedule they have coming forward is
the
just,
A's are not going to be easy.
No. You got a 4-game set with the A's that's going to be really difficult. And you've got a couple pitchers that were White Sox property that are going, I would think, in a 4-game series are going to be facing the White Sox. Frankie Montas and also Chris Bassett. Chris Bassett, last I checked, leads the American League in wins. I know Kyle Hendricks led the National League in wins. But, yeah, Chris Bassett led the
coming.
American League.
Did what? We?
Chris Bassett?
Yeah.
Or, he got a chance with the White Sox, but maybe not as
not
much
of a
chance.
Of a chance.
Yeah. Some people will say he had more than enough chance. But and Frankie Montas was the same way. He was a guy. Sometimes I think the White Sox in the past have rushed guys up a little bit too quick.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've done that with some of their draft picks in the year. Some people will think they did it with Rodon. A lot of people thought they did it with Gordon Beckham when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
They rushed him up.
Yep.
When they brought Chris Sale, they brought him in. There was a reliever for 1 year. Then he was a starter. And so I think they rushed some people. And then, you know, Luis Robert came up and Eloy came up relatively quickly. Even it's funny, during their rehabs, they played like one or two games at Winston-Salem, and then it came immediately up to AAA. And showed you how quickly they wanted to get them to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And Luis Robert seems like he's ready, which is great. Eloy has just been ripping the ball. I think he has, how many hits did he have yesterday? He had two hits. So I think he's got 7 2-hit games in his eight outings, or his last eight outings. He's got two hits. So you can't ask for more than him from him.
Right.
And he's actually not, is he scaring you as much, Sean, in the outfield?
No, not
He's not. To me, other. And Stone had mentioned that he dropped some weight. He's getting around, you know, a little quicker.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, before he had that hamstring issue that set him back a little bit, he was really going for it.
Yeah,
and I think he's being a little smarter now. But I haven't been. Every time it's hit out to him, I am looking with a critical eye.
Yeah,
but I can't say I'm like, oh my God. He's going to go headlong into the wall, and that's it.
Yeah. You know who I really, really like? And he doesn't hustle all the time to first base. And I'm not talking about Moncada here. I'm talking about Jose Abreu. He doesn't hustle all the time to first base. But when he hits a gapper, he's going to second every time. And when he got to second base yesterday, I was shocked in one of his doubles. Because I was shocked he was able to get there. Because that was the ball. There was one ball that he hit. I think it was him, where Brett Gardner overran it and caught it with his
hand. Caught it with his hand, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love the way when he hits the ball, he's going for second almost all the
right.
time. And I
right.
love watching that.
Right.
He hustles his tail off. He passed Harold Baines on the all-time home run list for the White Sox. Yeah. So they're all talking to him about that. But he's trying to extend his hitting streak to 12. He's got an 11-game streak right now, 17 for 46, 6 homers, 8 RBIs, and 11 runs. Scored during the streak, and he'll be at first base for the White Sox when they take on the Yankees. A 1:10 first pitch. We come back. We'll wrap up some of the polls. We'll talk a little bit more about what we saw from Justin Fields. We're out of here at 12:30. Then it'll be Connor McKnight with the pregame show for Sox and Yankees right here in your home for White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Fred and Xander.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Fred and Xander
on ESPN 1000. Also available on demand on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
So we talked about a lot today with Justin Fields making his debut for the Bears yesterday. 14 for 20, 142 yards, touchdown to Jesse James, and a 106.7 quarterback passer rating. And all Bears fans are excited. They've got to be.
I'm sure the White Sox fans are too.
Well, yeah, for the Bears, I think. All White Sox fans are excited for the Bears. The whole town comes together for the Bears, except for those Packer fans that, you know,
live among us.
Yeah, that live amongst us, like, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of them. I got a lot of friends that are Packer fans. You've got some, too.
Yes.
That are Packer fans. So I'm sure that tomorrow we're going to get a breakdown from Cap and Jay Hood. Cap compared how good he feels about Justin Fields to something that it's better than some other thing that he feels. So he'll talk more about that, I'm sure, tomorrow. If you follow Cap on Twitter, you may have read it already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jay Hood will break it down for you. Then Carmen and Yurko tomorrow.
He should see a doctor about that.
Yeah, I think he should, because maybe he's doing something wrong. I don't know. I mean, that could always be. We gave you the White Sox lineup. The Yankee lineup, DJ LeMahieu, Brett Gardner. Ah, crap. Aaron Judge, he's playing.
They didn't rest him today?
Nah, they're not resting him. Joey Gallo's hitting fourth. Giancarlo Stanton fifth. Luke Voit is sixth. Then Rougned Odor, who didn't get one call for him all night long. Every call was a tough one for him. Kyle Higashioka, the catcher, and Tyler Wade is at shortstop for them. And think about it. Tyler Wade's at short instead of, you don't have Gleyber Torres. Their catcher is Higashioka instead of Sanchez. Their third baseman is Rougned Odor instead of Urshela. Their first baseman, Luke Voit, instead of Rizzo. And Luke Voit, is there anyway. They got Brett Gardner in center fielder. He's not supposed to be their center fielder all year long. So they've got a lot of injuries, and they're still able to hang with where they are right now. And it's been tough. So we'll see how it goes today.
Red Sox.
Yeah, Nestor Cortez is going for the Yankees. And I mentioned the four-game series with the A's. You mentioned it's not going to be easy.
Nope.
The A's are a very, very good team. And here's the pitching rotation. Monday, Frankie Montas, former White Sox pitcher. He's 9-8 with a 3.98 ERA. He goes against Dallas Keuchel. Keuchel needs to step his game up. Tuesday, Chris Bassitt, 12-3 with a 3.06 earned run average against Ronaldo Lopez. Lopez is getting the start on Tuesday because Rodon's still down. Okay. Wednesday is going to be Cole Irvin, 8-11 against Lance Lynn. And Thursday afternoon, James Kaprielian for the A's. He's a former Yankee. He's going against Dylan Cease. So it's a four-game series, a tough one, and it's just a start because the White Sox are playing after Oakland. They go to Tampa for three and then Toronto for four.
That Toronto team really scares me.
Yeah, before coming home to play the Cubs.
Right.
Anything can happen in the Crosstown Series. You never know. The Wintrust Crosstown Series. It's a tough stretch of games for the White Sox. The three with the Yankees, four with Oakland, three with Tampa, four at Toronto. So let's see what the White Sox do. Everybody wants to know how they're going to do against the good teams. They get
Here's
their chance
test.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yep, they get their chance.
For the playoffs.
Yeah. So let's take a look what our poll questions were and how the results were for them.
Yeah, the Rock Poll, it's all about Chicago. So we mentioned we only have four slots. Everybody's chiming in with their favorite Chicago bands. But of the four Chicago bands that we put up on the Twitter poll for the Rock Poll, Chicago, Styx, Survivor, Smashing Pumpkins. What's your favorite? How'd that turn out, Sean?
Wow, I'm looking at this. It's changed over the last hour or so.
Really?
Yeah.
We had a sea change.
I think Chicago was leading, and then the Smashing Pumpkins came on late, man.
Did they really?
Yeah, the younger audience. Yeah, younger end of the audience.
Uh-huh.
But the Pumpkins are big. They made a lot of great music. I mean, they're still at it.
I'll have to check it out.
Chicago's still at
41%.
It,
41%.
Yeah. 41%.
Yeah, Chicago was neck and neck. Chicago originally early on in the voting had about a 2% lead.
Let me guess, Survivor's last?
Yeah.
Yeah.
3%.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh. Okay. That's okay. We still love Jim Peterik.
Of course.
Yeah. And the other one was a Bears poll, basically on who... After watching the success of Justin Fields in his first game yesterday, who looks better this morning? Nagy, Pace, Fields, or the combination of McCaskey and Phillips? We just threw them in there for the hell of it.
Right.
Yeah. How'd that one turn out?
This is a really good question you put together, Zan.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I wouldn't have gone Justin Fields because I would have said he already looked good to me.
Okay.
So there's no way for him to look better.
Right. Okay.
Right?
Right.
And I might have answered McCaskey and Phillips by keeping these guys around and giving them another opportunity to draft the quarterback.
Well, right. If you look at it that way, they're keeping them around and letting them make the decision.
Yeah, but voters went with Justin Fields, 81%.
Did they really?
I totally get the way you constructed this and how somebody can answer it for all, could actually give an answer for all of these.
Right, right. And it's interesting because, look, we expected or we hoped that he would show something good, right? And he did. And it's about him performing. So in that case, it is about him. But then again, it's like, okay, Pace drafted, yet McCaskey and Phillips kept Pace around. So, yeah. Interesting how that turned out. Justin Fields, what percentage?
81.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot. Yeah. That's
okay, so what's last? What's pulling
that's
up the
81
bottom?
Out of every 100.
McCaskey and Phillips.
Okay. That's last, huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, Ryan Pace is known for trading his picks and moving up. It worked this time. Okay, it didn't work with Mitchell Trubisky.
It worked this time so far. Knock
as far
Pace.
As we know, yeah. As far as we know, it worked. Yeah, we'll see how all these young quarterbacks go.
We actually thought it worked when Trubisky played his first preseason game.
Some people did, yeah. Most people who said, listen, if he's a good quarterback, he should have been a guy that some of us heard of. You know, and he should have been able
and
to start
there's
a college.
That.
Yeah, he should have been a guy that was able to start at college and beat other people out. What Justin Fields did was he wasn't starting at Georgia. He said, well, forget you. I'm going to Ohio State. And then he did what he did at Ohio State and showed everybody that he is a quarterback that can be as, you know, so good. And I'm looking forward to what he can do. I don't know if I'm looking forward to it, but the second preseason game next Saturday, a noon kickoff against Buffalo at Soldier Field. And I'm sure that the people that did not go to the first preseason game that said, preseason, I don't go, they may say, you know what? I'm not giving my ticket away for the next one. Let me go see how Justin Fields looks. Let me see in person before I have to go to the first home game, which is the Cincinnati Bengals, I think.
Well, I will say this. I'm never usually excited about preseason, and it was a little bit of oomph in it for me yesterday.
Right.
To see Justin. We knew, you know, the Red Rifle comes in. We know he's going to start. Then it's like, okay, when is he coming?
Well,
when
is he coming? Here's the
then
thing,
all of
though.
A sudden, bam, there it is. And then it was good. It was good to see. So I think this preseason has a little more weight than it usually does.
And I doubt everyone would answer this question not correctly, but honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But when you were watching the game yesterday, the first half of the game, and their first five possessions were three and out, two with Andy Dalton and three with Justin Fields, did you just say, this offense is never going to make it? Something's got to change. Nagy and Pace got to go. Or did you say, well, it's early. We're still going to watch.
Actually, I was a latter. I did not. Yeah. I did not get sucked in to that.
Okay.
And I'm not sure why. I had every reason to.
I got to the car after leaving here at noon.
Yeah.
And I already heard Jeff Joniak say, well, here's the Bears getting the ball for the second possession. I'm going, second possession? I go, it's like 12-10. How could it be the second possession already? And it's because they went three and out, and then they stopped Miami, and they got the ball, and it's their second possession. I go, holy cow, how much could I have missed? It wasn't that long to walk over to my car. So we got White Sox baseball coming up. Enough of us. We'll be back next week. We've got the White Sox are playing Tampa next weekend, so both of our shows are a little bit shorter next week.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be a tough series. Let's see how they do today against the Yankees.
One at a time, Fred. One at a time.
Okay. Yeah, one game at a time, I guess. That's how you go. Well, so we'll see what they do today. Lucas Giolito against the Yankees, then the Oakland A's come in. Thanks a lot for listening. Fred and Xander, we'll be back again next Sunday. Thanks to Sean Davis for all of his help. Don't go anywhere. It's White Sox baseball coming up next right here on ESPN 1000.
This is Fred and Xander.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.